in this atmosphere, and let us be open to what you have to say. Amen. And let Pastor Dave's words speak to us. And just bless us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. God is good, isn't he? I feel like I need to say something, and what I need to say is that strongholds are broken. And Jesus is victorious. That needed to be said today. I also need to say, this church started in a fire hall. And fire is one of the symbols God gives us of the Holy Spirit. This church now is right next to a river. And guess what the river symbolizes in the scripture? The Holy Spirit. God is up to something. God has prophetic words for this church, for what we are going to do and what we are going to accomplish, and his will be done. Amen. That needed to be said today. Amen. Now, I think that deserved a better response because it's true, but that's okay. So, okay. Now that you're excited, I'm going to kind of dampen that excitement because as we get into the message, there's something that I need to tell you before I get into the message. I said this in the first service, and I need to say it in this service too. I need to say this very clearly before I get into the message. What I need to say is that I love you very much. I'm very grateful. Thank you. I'm very grateful for every one of you. I'm thankful that you are a part of this church. And I'm thankful that I get to be your pastor. That is a privilege to me. And I'm very thankful for that. And I don't take that lightly. I hope that today's message will bother you. I hope that today's message is unsettling to you. I hope it upsets you. And the reason I hope that is because I love you. Sometimes one of the greatest expressions of love is saying things that are difficult to say and difficult to hear, but that need to be said. And the message I'm going to share this morning is something that God placed on my heart a few weeks ago. And he placed it on my heart because he loves you. And I'm sharing it with you today because I love you. The message I'm going to share was birthed out of one statement that was made on a Saturday or a Sunday evening service when we were at Christ Fellowship in Dawsonville, Georgia. At the beginning of the service, Pastor Marty came out and read a few verses of scripture and made a few comments, and then the worship team jumped in and we were off and running in a worship service. But there was a statement he made that triggered my thoughts in a certain direction, and it just grabbed hold of me. And for the next, I don't know how long, I just sat down writing stuff down as it was coming to me. I have no idea what the message was on that evening, but I know what the message to me was on that evening. It was for me, but it was also for me to share with you. The passage of scripture that he read was from Mark chapter 5. It's a powerful story. It's a story of the man in the Gerasenes who was demon-possessed. And Jesus comes to him, and they have this conversation. And as he's conversing with the man, the demon gives his name, and the name is Legion. He says, "I am Legion, for we are many." So this man is infested with numerous demons. And Jesus sets him absolutely free. He's delivered in a moment, and his life is transformed from that moment forward. It's a powerful story of God's love and of God's power over the work of the enemy. Let me just read the first two verses from that story. I encourage you to read the whole chapter later on, but here's just the first two verses. It says, "So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him." Here's the statement that Pastor Marty made. He said, "When Jesus got out of the boat, the man got out of the tombs." When Jesus got out of the boat, the man got out of the tombs. Here's what it triggered in my mind and in my heart. Right away, my mind fast-forwarded about a year and a half after this to a time when the exact opposite happened. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus gets out of the boat and a man gets out of the tombs. In John chapter 21, Jesus comes out of the tomb and Peter gets out of the boat. And that moment forever changed Peter's life. That moment set the trajectory for the church, of which you and I are now a part. That moment, every single one of us here, everyone who is a believer around the world, benefits from that moment when Peter stepped out of the boat because Jesus had stepped out of the tomb. Let me give you some of the background of the story. The Bible tells us that the night Jesus was betrayed, he was meeting with his disciples, and he said, "One of you is going to betray me." And they were thrown into chaos and confusion at that statement. And to make things worse, he said, not only that, but the rest of you, you're going to run and hide in terror for your own lives. You're going to just abandon me completely. And Peter, we know Peter, he's a man of action, right? He's a man's man. He's the fighter. He's the guy that's never going to back down. He says, "Jesus, not me. I'll be there for you. I'll fight and die for you if that's what it takes." And Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will have denied three times that you even know me." And if you know the story, you know that's exactly what happened. Peter is in a courtyard outside of the building where Jesus is being interrogated and abused. And somebody comes over and asks him and says, you're one of his followers, aren't you? And three times Peter denies his Savior, his King, his best friend. And after the third time, the rooster crows and Jesus is led out of the building by guards, and Peter is overcome with shame and remorse. A few days later, after the resurrection, the disciples begin to hear some stories about an empty tomb and some of the ladies saying that Jesus has appeared to us. He's alive. Peter himself has been to the empty tomb and saw that it was empty, but he's confused as to what it means. Could this really be true? What's happening here? And after the worst failure in his life, he's had no opportunity to talk with Jesus or to see Jesus until John 21. And when we come to John 21, Peter has gathered together a few of the other disciples, and they've been out fishing all night. They're on a boat about 100 yards offshore. And they're fishing all night, and they catch nothing. And as dawn is arriving, they see a man walking along the shore, and the man hollers over and says, "Hey, have you guys caught anything?" And they said, "No, we haven't caught anything." And he said, "Do me a favor, throw your nets on the other side of the boat." And they do. And immediately the nets are full of fish. This sounds familiar, doesn't it? This happened to Peter a few years before that when he first met Jesus. And Peter realizes that's Jesus. I want you to notice what Peter does. Now remember, the last time he saw Jesus, he betrayed him. He denied him. He failed him miserably. And now he sees Jesus from a distance. And look at his response. John chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. "When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only 100 yards from shore." Jesus stepped out of the tomb, and Peter stepped out of the boat. Here's the message. Some of you here today need to get out of the boat that you're in. The boat is anything that is separating you from Jesus. The boat is anything that is creating distance between you and God right now. It's anything that interferes with that closeness, that intimacy that he invites us into. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about those things that are keeping us from being as close to Jesus as we know we should be. Those things that are keeping us from being as close to Jesus as we once were. Those things that are keeping us from being as close to Jesus as we know is possible and available to us. We all have people like this in our lives that we look at and we say they've got this intense, close relationship with God. It's so amazing to see how close they are with God. And I'm just not close to him. I don't understand it. Why can't I be close to God? The reason we are not close to God, if you look at your life and you say, "I'm not close to God," the reason is because he's over here on the shore and you're still floating around in a boat. And as long as we choose the boat over him, there will be distance between us. Years ago, a wise man once said, "You are as close to Jesus as you choose to be." If I am far away from him, it's because of decisions I've made. It's because of other priorities I've placed before him in my life. It's because I've chosen life in the boat over life with him. What I'm talking about is those things separating us from him. For Peter, it was the boat, which represented a life he was comfortable with and about 100 yards of water. What is it for you? What is it in your life that is separating you, that is keeping you from being as close to him as you could be, that is keeping you from bowing before him and giving your life to him? Again, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about submission. Placing our lives completely into his hands, our values and our priorities, aligning them with his, our thought lives, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, the decisions we make, all of it, aligning that completely with his kingdom, with his purposes, with his will, with his desires, placing ourselves at his disposal with no arguments and no reservations. In Mark chapter 5, this story is amazing. A demon-possessed man, think about this. You read that story. A demon-possessed man ran to Jesus and fell before Jesus in worship. 1,000 demons could not keep this man from throwing himself at Jesus' feet, bowing before him in worship. The question is, what's keeping us from doing that? And in John 21, 100 yards of water could not keep Peter from doing whatever it took to be as close as possible to Jesus. What is keeping us from doing the same? In both of these stories, both of these men left behind what was keeping them from Jesus and ran to him. They closed the distance. They said, I'm far away from him. I need to be closer to him. And they ran. They closed that distance as quickly as possible. Understand something. He requires nothing less from us. And he deserves nothing less from us. Peter left behind the boat. What is the boat? It represented his old life, doesn't it? He was a commercial fisherman. That's what he did for a living. The boat represents his priorities. It's where he found his identity. It's what he invested his life in. And he left it behind. Why? One reason. Because Jesus is alive. I think it's important for us to understand the resurrection, it means something. It means something for us right here, right now. It means something for how we live our lives right here and right now. The resurrection is not just something we celebrate on Easter. It's not just something we talk about on Easter. The resurrection is not just about us saying, the Lord is risen. Yes, he's risen indeed. It's more than that. It's more than just studying the information and studying the history and being able to have a discussion with somebody who doesn't believe and say, yes, here's all the information. Here's the facts. Here's the evidence that Jesus really did rise from the dead. This actually happened. It really actually did happen. It's more than that. Jesus is alive and he's waiting for us to respond to him just like Peter did. And Peter's response was this, because he's alive, I want to be as close to him as possible, whatever the cost. Whatever it takes, whatever I have to leave behind, whatever I have to change in my life, I just need to be as close to him as I possibly can. Think about this. As Peter is sitting in the boat, he's in the boat and Jesus is on the shore. It would not be enough for Peter to just sit there and talk about the resurrection with the other men in the boat and say, yep, that's Jesus, that's him. That's not enough, is it? Wouldn't be enough for him to say, well, let's pull out the scrolls. Let's study the Old Testament. Let's look at all the prophecies that pointed to this very day, to this event happening. We believe that it really did happen. And there it is right there. Look at Jesus 100 yards away. That would not be enough. And in the same way, none of that is an adequate response from us either. It's not enough just to agree that Jesus is alive. It's not enough just to say, yes, I believe the facts that Jesus is alive. None of that is enough to the fact that Jesus walked out of the tomb. God calls us to a response. What he wants is for us to live as though we believe Jesus is alive. And that means we jump out of the boat, just like Peter did. Interesting thing about Peter is, this is the second time he did this. This is the second time Peter jumped out of a boat so he could get closer to Jesus. First time is in the middle of a storm and he walked on water. This time there's no storm and he swam 100 yards. What's the point? The point is this. Some of you sitting there are saying to yourselves, I'm already saved. This doesn't really apply to me. I jumped out of the boat a long time ago. I prayed the prayer. I did the thing. I got out of the boat. Maybe that's true. And if it's true, that's awesome. The problem is, look at Peter. He got back into the boat. And some of you have too. Some of you have gotten back into the boat. You've allowed other priorities to push him aside. You've allowed other priorities to interfere with your pursuit of him. You've allowed other things to replace your first love, and now you're distant from him. He is on the shore, and you're in a boat floating further and further away from him. And that first time that you jumped out of the boat, that's awesome that you did that, but that's not enough for right now. If you did that, but you've turned away, you've wandered away, you've drifted away, the fact that you jumped out of the boat years ago doesn't change the fact that right now you're far away from him. Right now you're not following him. Right now you're giving your life over to that which is comfortable rather than that which is life-changing. And what God calls you to do today is the same thing Peter did that day. Jump out of the boat because you've been drifting away. Again, it does no good just to talk about the past. It's good to remember the past, but not if we're not living that out in our current lives. It would do Peter no good sitting there in the boat. Jesus is 100 yards away on the shore. Peter's in the boat drifting away. It does him no good to sit there in the boat talking with the disciples and saying, guys, remember this experience like a year and a half ago? I jumped out of this very same boat and I walked on this very same water to Jesus. How powerful our God is. What an amazing miracle he did. That was awesome. What an incredible experience. Yes, that was incredible, but it's not enough for right now because you got back into that boat. It's great that that happened, but right now you're back in the boat and Jesus is on the shore and there's something separating you from him. And in the same way for you and for me, understand this, last year's victory is not enough for today. Yesterday's encounter wasn't enough for today. You need to be close to him right now. You and I need new victories every single day. New encounters with him every single day. New filling with the Holy Spirit every single day. New growth every single day. New getting closer to his presence every single day. Think about it in terms of food. That awesome steak you had 3 weeks ago, it was great, wasn't it? Don't lie, you liked it. It was amazing. But that amazing meal you had 3 weeks ago does nothing to fill your hunger right now.
Come on.
And in the same way, that amazing encounter you had with Jesus 3 months ago, 3 years ago, 3 decades ago, that was awesome. It was incredible. It was life-changing. But it does not fill your hunger right now. And it doesn't change the fact that right now he's over there and you're over there drifting away from him because you're holding on to something that is keeping you from him. So yes, you jumped out of the boat that one time, and that's great. So did Peter. And just like Peter, you need to do it again because you've been drifting away from him. Some of you here today, you know this is true. You know this message is for you. It's resonating in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now. And I encourage you to listen to what he's saying. Don't resist him. Jesus and Peter are walking along the shore. And they're talking, and Jesus says to Peter, Peter, I have a mission for you. I have a calling on your life. There's something I'm going to do through you. Now think of Peter. Peter's a man of action. He doesn't want to sit on the sidelines and watch things happen. He wants to be in the middle making things happen. After he denies Jesus, I'm sure he thought God would never trust me with anything ever again. He trusted me to be a leader, and I betrayed him. How would God ever trust me to do anything again? He's probably going to push me to the side. I will never accomplish anything for God's kingdom after a failure of that magnitude. The first conversation they have after the biggest failure of Peter's life, Jesus gives Peter a job promotion. He says, Peter, I'm leaving soon, and I'm putting you in charge. There's a job that has got to get done, and I'm counting on you to lead my people to get the job done. Understand something. That conversation never would have happened if Peter had not jumped out of that boat. 5 weeks later, we come to the day of Pentecost. The fire falls. The Holy Spirit comes. There's wind. There's fire. They're all speaking in tongues. A crowd gathers. The church is born. Thousands of people are gathering together and they're confused. They're asking questions. What's happening? What's going on? What does this mean? Who's the man that steps forward and preaches a sermon that day? It's Peter. And he says, I'm going to explain to you what happened. And he begins to tell them about Jesus, who sacrificed his life for the forgiveness of our sins and rose from the dead. And he's alive today. And that is why this is happening right now. Peter gives that message and they say, what should we do in response to this? He says, repent, be baptized, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ that day. Amen. That sermon never would have been preached if Peter had not jumped out of the boat. Here's the question. What's the sermon God intends your life to preach that will never happen if you don't jump out of the boat? What is the calling God has on your life that will never be fulfilled if you don't jump out of the boat? See, God has a life for you. There's something he wants to do in you and through you. Peter had an opportunity to go for a walk with the risen, resurrected Christ. He had an opportunity to find out God had a mission and a purpose for his life. He never would have had any of that if he had stayed in that boat and refused to come back to Jesus. He jumps out of the boat and everything changes. He swam 100 yards so he could be close to Jesus. Are you willing to walk 20 feet up here to make a commitment to Christ so you can be close to him again? Here's another thing about this story is that Peter left behind the biggest catch of his life. He's a commercial fisherman. This isn't a hobby. This is what he does for a living. This is the biggest catch for his life. This represents the biggest success in his life, and he walked away from all of it. He left behind all of it so he could be closer to Jesus. What are you willing to leave behind to be closer to him? Now, again, some of you might be sitting there and thinking, well, okay, this doesn't really apply to me. I'm in church. What do you mean I'm far away from God? I think we can understand it's possible to be in church and still be a million miles away from him. Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? And these were men who spent a lot of time in church. They read the scriptures all the time. They studied the scriptures all the time. They talked about the scriptures all the time. And Jesus said about them, these people honor me with their words, but their hearts are far from me. That's the issue. Where is your heart? Is it still in the boat or pursuing him? So Peter discovered that day, not only is Jesus alive, the fact that he's alive means he has a calling for you. And he wants to walk with you through this life. But he never would have experienced that calling. He never would have had that opportunity to walk through life with the living God if he had stayed in the boat. And the same thing is true for you and for me. Let me talk a little bit more about the boat. Here's what the boat represents. The boat is where Peter was comfortable. The boat is where Peter was competent. Remember, he's a fisherman. If you've got questions about fishing, he's the man. When you're in the boat, Peter's the man. He's the go-to guy. You got questions about how to handle a boat in a storm, about what to do with fish, he's the guy to ask. When he's in the boat, he's confident, he's in control, he's in charge. He is the guy to go to. That's his identity. And he had to leave that behind to follow Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, here's what that means. You've got to deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me. For Peter, that's what he had to leave behind. What is it for you? What is your boat? What is your comfort zone? What is it that you're depending on for your self-worth, for your identity, other than Jesus? Whatever it is that you turn to instead of him, it might be the very thing that's keeping you away from him. He has a calling for you. And he has a life that he wants to live with you and through you. But to experience that, you've got to jump out of the boat. I want you to understand, I'm looking for a response today. I'm not just preaching to close in prayer and then we all go home. I'm preaching for life change because life change needs to happen. The Holy Spirit comes to speak to us. He comes to convict us. He comes to point out those areas in our lives that need to change. He does that because he loves us and he wants us to respond. And if we don't respond, if we put up our defenses, if we block him out, we run the risk of quenching and resisting the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to what he's saying and we need to receive and respond. We're not here just to go to church for an hour and then go home. We're done with that.
Amen.
It's time for things to change. It's time for us to respond to what God is saying to us. Amen. So I'm going to give an invitation in a few minutes, but before I do, there's one more thing that has to be said. Do you realize that there was a sound that was attached to Peter's betrayal? In that courtyard, he denies Jesus three times, and what's the very next thing that happened? A rooster crowed. And when that happened, all of a sudden, what have I done? And he's overwhelmed with shame and guilt. Where do you think his mind is going to go for the rest of his life every time he hears a rooster crow? That sound was attached to the biggest failure in his life. There was also a smell attached to that. The Bible tells us that as Peter was in the courtyard, it says he was warming himself next to a fire. We all know that there's a smell attached to that, right? Smoke has a very distinctive smell, and it carries memories with it. Whether it's a positive memory of being around a campfire with friends or a negative memory of a house fire, that smoke, it triggers those memories, doesn't it? Where do you think Peter's mind is going to go when he sees a fire for the rest of his life or smells smoke for the rest of his life? Can I tell you about God's grace? In John chapter 21, Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to shore, and Jesus is there. You know what Jesus had been doing on the shore before Peter got there? In verse 9, it says this. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. Peter gets there, and Jesus has a fire ready for his arrival. I think Jesus had more in mind than just breakfast. Jesus rewrote the story for Peter in that moment. I think some of what Jesus was saying by that is this: Peter, what happened in that courtyard, that's not who you are. You're the guy who jumped out of a boat so you could get close to me, and you did it twice. He rewrote the story and gives him a new calling, a new sense of identity, a new purpose. And so now every time Peter sees a fire, every time he smells smoke, it's a story not of failure, not of betrayal, not of shame. It's a story of grace. It's a reminder to him of the God who conquered death and who welcomed him back with open arms after a massive failure. It's a reminder of a moment that changed his life when Jesus himself said to him, I've got a calling for you. This is your new identity. You have a purpose. You have a mission. You have a place in my kingdom. You have a place in what I'm going to accomplish on this world. Peter now has, and they used fires all the time. And so Peter now has a constant reminder of God's grace and the new story God is writing for him. I want you to know, if you're distant from God right now, if you're drifting away from him, that does not have to be the story of your life. Whatever your past, whatever mistakes and failures you have made, and maybe you made promises to God and you meant it at the time, but you failed and you broke those promises. Peter did the same thing. That does not have to be the story of your life. We're talking about the God who came and sacrificed himself, and he paid for every one of those failures with his blood so that we could be forgiven. And he has built a fire for every one of us, a fire that tells a new story, not of shame, not of failure, but a story of grace, a story of his love and of his power working through you. A story where you get to partner with him in the most important mission in the history of mankind. A story where you get to live a life that has an impact on others because you chose to walk with the living God. But it starts with you jumping out of the boat that you're in. It starts with you leaving behind what you've been depending on for your identity, for your self-worth, instead of him. And doing whatever it takes to get as close as possible to him and to say, Jesus, I'm here for you. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to live for you. I'm here to follow you for the rest of my life. I'm going to ask everybody to just stand to your feet, please. And I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. As they're walking along, Jesus asked Peter a question. And the question was, Peter, do you love me more than these? I believe he's asking every one of us the same question. I want you to picture that you are walking with Jesus, and I want you to hear his voice asking you that question. Do you love me more than these? This that you've been pursuing, do you love me more than this? This that you've pushed me aside for, do you love me more than this? This that has made you too busy to spend time with me, do you love me more than this? This that you have depended on for so long, that you place your identity and your self-worth on, do you love me more than this? I want you to picture that. Hear his voice asking you that question. What is your answer to him? Are you ready to jump out of the boat? Here's the invitation. I'm not here to counsel anybody today. The invitation is just to come and pray and meet with him. If God has spoken to you this morning and you know, yeah, there's some stuff in my life and I've been drifting away from him. And maybe it wasn't intentional, it was subtle, but you know you're distant from him. You're not where you should be spiritually. If God is speaking to you this morning, I'm going to ask you just to come forward, find a place here, just to kneel, to sit down up here near the front, and just come back to him. Can you do it where you are right now? Of course you can. Peter swam 100 yards to be closer to Jesus. A demon-possessed man ran to the shore to be with Jesus. So I think it's appropriate by an act of faith and as a sign of just obedience, of just saying, God, I'm going to leave where I am right now so I can be closer to you. If the Holy Spirit has been working in your heart today, don't resist him. Just respond. So I'm going to pray and then just give the invitation for you to come forward. Father, do your work in our hearts. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you come to speak to us. You come to minister to us. You come to guide us. Because there are things you have in store for us that you don't want us to walk away from. Lord, forgive us for those times when we've turned away from you and allowed other things to replace you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll work and move in people's hearts right now. That barriers would come down, resistance would come down, no defenses, no excuses. God, we just say yes to you. We just say yes to you right now. If God has spoken to you, say yes to him. Just come and find a place and get that right with him right now.